Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you.
That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Slash and Dash! Hi guys! You guys voted for the Bikini Killer.
Ooh, did he kill in bikinis or kill people wearing bikinis or strangle them with a bikini? I guess that would be telling. It's all to find out.
But what I would recommend you do is get a world map in front of you while you listen to this one, because it is an around the world trip,
right?
Very much. Born in Saigon, which is now called Ho Chi Minh, which is where I went over the summer. So that's why I was kind of glad that you voted for this one, because it's sort of the Vietnamese version. And he was born to an unmarried Vietnamese mother and an Indian father, who like his dad just left not long after he was born, and his mother then blamed him, which is crazy. And then but his mother did remarry, so she remarried a French lieutenant, which isn't that surprising considering like there's a lot of French people in Vietnam.
Is there?
It was a French colony for a long time. So
God, I'm gonna need more than a world map for this. Yeah. Bloody Wikipedia.
So the French lieutenant married his mother and then adopted Charles as his son as well. But it was really clear that he preferred the children that he had with the mother afterwards, like his own born children. So the family moved frequently and they moved around the world a lot. And Charles developed some behaviour problems, probably partly because he wasn't in one place for a long period of time. So his behaviour escalated quite quickly and he ended up in prison by his early teens. So he was in prison for burglary, And he kind of liked prison. He did quite well.
He liked the structure.
He did quite well in prison.
He's got his own room, finally.
Yeah. Yeah. He's quite intelligent. He was quite manipulative. And so he'd sort of get to know the guards and get certain privileges so he could have, like, visitors at times when other people couldn't, and books in his cell. So he was pretty sort of well-regarded within prison and quite well-liked by people. So he did finally get out of prison. And when he left prison, he became involved in more criminal activity in Paris, which was where the family had been living. So he's in France now. So he began scamming, stealing. He was seducing women as well.
How dare he?
Sort of like a glamorous underworld.
I love that seducing women is just on the same level as scamming. And like seducing, that suggests that, like, that's just wooing someone. Like, if you said wooing women, that wouldn't sound nearly as bad. How, like, I don't know. What I'm saying is, why is seduction negative? Like, I would love to be seduced.
It almost sounds a bit like people are unwilling, doesn't it? If you're seducing. But I don't think it does really mean that. Because if you're seduced, you're kind of like,
Let's say he was manipulating women.
I think he was kind of just shagging women who were consensually agreeing to it.
Okay.
So he was just scamming, stealing and having relationships, which is...
I guess it's just how he filled his time.
Yeah. But then he married one. So she was called Chantal and she became pregnant quite quickly after they started sleeping together. And then he got caught for another crime. So he was faced with another prison sentence. So Charles left France with his pregnant wife and they went all the way to Bombay overland. They weren't flying.
Whoa.
So, I mean, I don't know if I'd even go for a walk if I was pregnant. I'd find some excuse to have my feet up. She's traveling to Bombay with one in the oven. So they traveled across land through Europe with her heavily pregnant, and then she gave birth to a baby girl. And then they arrived in Bombay with a child.
So she gave birth, like, on the road.
On the run, yeah. So in Bombay, Charles continued the life that he knew. He went straight back to illegal. I mean, he's very much a career criminal.
I mean, if you've been in prison from a teenager, then you've missed those years where you're... Like, if you... Like you said, he went in, like, early teens. So if he comes out, like, say, his early 20s, you've missed that period where you're in, like, the apprenticeship, young man, bottom of the ladder. You're at the age where you should be now doing something, but you've got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, at no point does he try and make a U-turn. Like, he's trying to be a successful criminal.
Okay.
Like, you know, when those life kind of games that you're like, what are you going to choose? Career criminal. Like, that's him. That's what he's going for.
Okay.
So in Bombay, he's stealing cars and he was stealing jewellery and he was pretty often successful. He was making a bit of money, but he was ultimately caught. And he borrowed some money from his father at this point, like the adopted father, French lieutenant, which paid his bail. And then him and his wife then fled with his daughter to Afghanistan.
Jeez.
I know. So they've already been quite a long way around the world. So here, the couple began robbing tourists. And she is not squeaky clean either. So she is very much aware of what he's doing and she is involved as well. So they're both caught at this point.
I'm going to say, to travel the world like that with him, either she knows what he is and just loves him anyway and is a bit in on it, or she's quite possibly under, like, he's had control of her in a sinister way. So
yeah,
it's probably best that
I think it's more
likes it.
Yeah, she's kind of like, yeah, all right. So they get caught and then Charles dramatically escapes by drugging the guards that have caught him. But he manages to escape, but his daughter and his wife don't. So at this point, he leaves his family.
That's like in Downton Abbey when Branson leaves Lady Sybil and flees Ireland and is just like, oh yeah, meet me later. I'm on season 4. I know.
Spoiler alert.
I know it's been around for a while, but I just decided to binge it in the holidays.
So he basically found his brother again, which, right, so basically, oh God, when was his brother involved? So his brother was... Oh, his brother was like a little bit younger than him. This is his birth brother. And he does to his brother what he did to his wife. They go on the rob.
The old switcheroo.
Well, they go on the rob. They both get caught and he fucks off and gets... He gets away and the brother gets caught.
Yeah.
So then the brother gets 18 years in jail and Charles is on the run. So he's not sort of like free, but he's escaped again. So there's a pattern of this when he's sort of like the cat with nine lives, to be honest. I don't know how he gets away with it so many times. So he ends up in Thailand and here he poses as a drug dealer to rob tourists. So basically what he'd do was... offer them to buy drugs. I think he'd either give them like...
Oh, give them like a bit of talc. Like
fake drugs, or he'd find out where they kept their money and then just rob them and keep the drugs. So he was manipulating tourists and he does this throughout the rest of his life.
That is a bold choice. Like, I'm going to be a thief by pretending to be a worse type of criminal.
Yeah, well, exactly. But he was born, was it 60s? So I reckon that was dead easy then. I mean, I bet there were loads of naive... Travelers like in 80s. Thailand, kind of
early 90s.
Yeah, probably not with a guidebook saying look out for these weird drug dealers. I don't know. People going.
There'd be no TripAdvisor review for them to check.
Yeah. So one woman became really infatuated with Charles and they began a bit of a relationship. But she was a bit more like a groupie than a girlfriend because she knew that he was having sex with other women and she knew that he was robbing people and doing whatever he wanted and she just kind of followed him around. So then others started joining this little group that they had.
What? Did he get a cult?
Pretty much. So they started... Like, he would manipulate people and then they'd, like, join his little gang. So what he'd do was he'd either rob them and then, like, but they didn't know that he'd rob them, like, pickpocket. And then he'd look like he'd saved, like, he'd got their passports and, like, saved the day.
Oh, he'd be like, yeah, I found this.
Or he'd poison them and then nurse them back to health. So he was really manipulative. But then they'd sort of think he was, like, the best thing ever. And... join this sort of cult that he had.
He's like a weird Fagin for backpackers.
Exactly.
Like, go out to my pretties and bring me back treasures.
Yeah, in the sources that I was looking at, he was sort of trying to build this like criminal family. So it was a bit like training them up and got to pick a pocket or two and all that.
Yeah.
So Charles was very much the leader of this pack and like a cult leader. And when people began to distrust him and not really... want to be in the gang anymore, that's when he began to commit murder. So he secured his role. So I'm going to go through a lot of victims now.
Okay.
I mean, this is high
profile. Buckle up.
I think within about 10 years, there's going to be a film about this guy's life.
I'm going to say it sounds... I'm surprised you haven't heard it.
Yeah. So the first victim was Teresa Knowlton, and she was a young American. And her body was found burned. And basically, she'd been part of his little gang. And then... so I'm not sure about the details, but I think she'd either wanted to leave or questioned him. And then it was just dead easy to kill her off. And then victim two was Jenny Believer. And she was found drowned in a pool in a bikini. Originally, I think they thought that she'd just drowned by mistake. But then it took a few months and there was more victims after that before they realised that actually it had been murder. So she'd been held down. And ended up drowning. Victim three was a nomadic shepherdic Jew. So like a Jewish shepherd who didn't have a house called Vitali Hakim. And he was found burned. Victims four and five were two students. And they were called Henik Bintanja, who was 29. And his fiancée, Cornelia Hemker, who was 25. And what he'd done is his old trick where he'd poisoned and then healed them. And then a previous victim, so the Jewish shepherd, his girlfriend came looking for him and he'd already been killed. So she turned up. And then I think Charles freaked out because he had these other two people staying there and things got a little bit weird. So he just murdered this couple, strangled and then burned them just to get them out of the way. And then he killed the girlfriend. So she was victim six, the one who'd come looking for her boyfriend, and she was found drowned in a bikini as well. She was called Shemaine.
I mean, everyone who kills people in a hot country could be the bikini killer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I mean, I think it's because they were like found in a pool in a bikini both times. So then he, so that's the first six victims. So then Charles has this friend called Chowdhury, and what they started doing was using the victims' passports. So they collected all the passports from these victims and then they went to Nepal. So they all happened in Thailand. They moved to Nepal and then they killed a Canadian called Laurent Ormond Carrier and a Californian called Connie Bronzik. They stole their passports and travelled to Calcutta.
Wait, there is no way this guy, who is half Vietnamese, half Indian, is able to steal these people's passports and just be like, yep.
I know.
I've been travelling for a while. I've just got a really good tan.
Yeah, he's literally just... I mean, customs must have been absolute dog shit.
Puts his thumb over the photograph and slides it across.
Because then he killed Israeli Avoni Jacob for his passport and then he used that to go to Singapore. Then he goes to India and then he goes to Bangkok. So he has been around. So he gets back to Thailand. Now remember, he killed six people in Thailand and those murders have been looked into. They know that's a lot of murders. Yeah. So they suspect...
They know. Six is too many.
So they know that... they think that Charles is responsible, but also... they think having a serial killer killing tourists in the press probably wouldn't be a good look for Thailand, kind of showing itself as...
Come to paradise and get killed.
A beautiful tourist country. So they kind of cast a blind eye and don't arrest Charles. However, a Dutch diplomat, because two of the people who got killed were Dutch backpackers, he isn't going to let it go. So he's also on the trail. So he starts searching... and following this trail of Charles. So he searched Charles's apartment and here he finds loads of passports as well as some poison. So he's got something on Charles now. So Charles realizes that someone's after him. He escapes to Malaysia and he begins creating a new sort of family. So this criminal family. And it wasn't long before he had accumulated a few people with his old poison and then people.
It takes a certain... I guess there's a certain type of person that will... we feel so indebted to them that they stay around. Yeah. Like, I think I would be that person and I don't think you would. Like, when we were couch surfing, I would have just moved in with any of the... apart from Dirty Jean, I would have moved in with any of the people. I'd be like, I love him. I'm staying forever. If you hadn't dragged me out.
But I reckon, like, you know, if you're traveling and you haven't really got set places to go and you think... this guy's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's it. I guess like that's cool. The thing, like that traveling vibe of like, we don't have to be anywhere. Yeah. We found a cool place, we'll stay here.
Yeah. So he kills Jean-Luc Solomon, who's a French tourist, but he also picks up two female tourists called Barbara and Mary, and they start joining, like following him around. They went with him to New Delhi and they start helping him trick and steal from people. So what they do... Yeah, I know. So they trick and drug a group of French students. Now, they realise that these French students realise pretty quickly before the effects are too strong that they've been drugged. So there's quite a lot of them. So they overpower the three people, the two women and Charles, and then they call the police. And well so they're done. All arrested. Yeah, I know. Imagine like you're succumbing to the effects of some drug and
then they suddenly are like, do you hear the people sing?
So those three were sent to prison in New Delhi where they waited for trial. And I don't know much about prisons in New Delhi, but by the sounds of it, they were fucking terrible. So Barbara and Mary both tried to kill themselves in this prison in New Delhi. It was so atrocious. I think like it might be like in Brazil where you've got to pay to eat, like you've got to have money to survive, but it sounds like it was pretty horrific. But Charles had the foresight, because he had been in a lot of prisons, he'd smuggled in jewels, I assume, up his ass, and he was like paying for stuff with these jewels, so he was one of the big dogs in there almost immediately because he'd got quite a lot of sort of influence.
I mean, how many jewels can you smuggle up one arsehole?
I don't know, diamonds are pretty small, aren't they?
I guess.
So he bribed the guard and he became a bit of a celebrity at this point. People know what he's done, and then he's in this prison. He's got people running around after him. He's got loads of money. And he hires...
But in prison.
In prison. So he starts hiring and firing lawyers for his trial. And like the press is following this. So he hires a lawyer and then he gets mad at this lawyer and then he fires the lawyer and he gets someone else. And he's living a life of luxury. He's even, it said on the sources that I looked at, able to walk out the prison and walk back in again whenever he wants as
well.
So he's literally just wandering around. I think because he's so rich, he just bribes a guard and says, well, I'm going to nip to KFC, I don't know. And then just goes back again. So he goes to trial and he didn't get the death penalty, but he's given 12 years for murder. He does interviews with the press. He's on TV. He has gourmet food.
He's killed so many people.
He's killed so many people. And he's got prisoners doing his bidding. So he is like the king, the top dog of this prison. He's living... I mean, he's still in prison, but he's living a good life in prison. So his sentence comes near the end. He's living there for 12 years. These two women, I'm not sure. I think they...
like they're gone now.
I think it says later, but I think they go back to... They eventually get out and they go back to their home countries, but they're scarred by this. But then I think also it said that they still defended Charles, even though he absolutely done the dirty on them. So his sentence comes near to its end. And he needs a plan to stay in prison because he knows that Thailand... are still after him for these murders. Remember, he's in New Delhi. He's been caught in New Delhi. He's been tried for only a couple of murders. So he knows that if he gets let out now, they'll send him to Thailand and he'll get the death penalty 100%. So he knows that he needs to get a longer sentence to outdo this warrant from Thailand that will eventually run out.
That makes more sense why he would walk out of the prison and walk back in then. Because yeah. I was like, why wouldn't you just leave forever?
Yeah. So to get out, he holds a prison party on one of his last nights and invites, like, the guards are there. He buys them loads of alcohol. He buys the other prisoners loads of alcohol. He gives drugs to everyone. He drugs the guards. And then he sneaks them sleeping pills. And then he just walks out of prison and he just makes a run for it. And he makes it to Goa, where he's arrested again. And because he escaped, he gets 10 years added to his sentence. So he goes back to the original prison in New Delhi with 10 years extra. And by this time, when he gets out within that 10 years, the arrest warrant in Thailand run out. So he doesn't get deported to Thailand. He doesn't get the death penalty. So he's let free because I think they haven't got a certain country to send him to. He's not really got citizenship anywhere. So they let him go and he goes to France. So in France, he does... loads of interviews and he charges thousands of pounds because he's had this life. People are interested.
It is crazy.
So he sells the rights to a film about his life, I think, or he sort of is in negotiation. But also people haven't forgotten he is a murderer and he's killed a lot of people. And
yeah, he is a serial killer.
He's not really done his time for that. So he's got loads of unconvicted crimes. And because he's out and about making a big show
of
himself.
So is he just admitting to them? So he's in France saying, buy the rights to a film of my life where I killed over eight people.
So he's arrested and sentenced to life for the murders of the two French victims that he killed. He appealed this, but he appealed this and they said, well, no, but also he asked to get moved to a Nepalese prison, which they did do. I'm not sure why. You'll have to look into that. But he's still there. So he's an old man now in Nepal. While he's been there, he's married a 20-year-old woman.
What the hell? I want to see him now because there must be something about him.
And he's 75 as we speak. He's still in prison in Nepal. He denies committing any murders, but I think he's been quite vocal about them before. And I'm sure there must be other prisoners he was in prison with who have testified against him and said, yeah, he told me about the murders. Like he's not been bashful. And I think there is a film in the pipeline of his life.
I'm going to say they'd be smart to make one while he's in prison because then he can't profit from it.
That's true. But I think probably he's 75.
just going to wait till he dies?
Yeah, don't you have to get stuff agreed if people are still alive in case you sully their name and things? But once he dies, they can kind of do what they want.
Sully his name in prison. Who gives a fuck?
I don't know.
He killed all the people.
Yeah, but like he killed, I mean, what's that? About 10 people that we know of. And yet there were probably loads more as well. He's just doing it willy-nilly, taking passports. Like, stole stuff from loads of people. Probably ruined a lot of people's travelling experiences as well.
ruined the travelling experience.
Like that's not important.
Just slipping in that little bit of first world problem there.
Yeah, so I thought it was an interesting one because he's quite a big deal. So yeah. Look him up.
Okay, yeah, well.
Thanks, guys.
Time to dash.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.